Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this. As much as I like this song, we got to get Rob Pizzola's real song rolling there, Solana. Let's do that.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, Jack. Come on now.
We're on a little run.
We are on a little run.
We really are.
I didn't even tell Rob.
Woo!
Hit a 5-team parlay on Saturday and a 4-team parlay on Sunday.
Woo!
Although, the 5-team parlay on Saturday needs a little bit of context. It was a money line parlay, and I took all massive favorites like Clemson, Auburn. It was a money line 5-team parlay. We won, and if you were betting $100, it paid $75. That's a 5-team parlay. But the 4-team parlay that we hit on Sunday was legit. That thing paid.
I enjoyed those lines at the end.
Rob Pizzola is a professional sports gambler, and you can follow him on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. He doesn't pay us to come on. We don't pay him to come on. We just enjoy talking with him. And not every weekend will make you feel like a champion when you're sports gambling, like we did this weekend. But Rob took a pounding only because of that Dolphins pick. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Mark.
Well, what do you have to say for yourself?
Yeah. So listen, yeah, we'll get this one out of the way quickly, I guess. Not the worst bet I've ever made in my life, surprisingly, because the reality is there was still a chance for the Dolphins to cover at like the end of the first quarter. It's very small, but you know, I've bet baseball totals at Coors Field, for example. I've bet an under in a Rockies game that actually went over in the first inning before. So like that's, you know, first inning of a game, you already lost your bet. So that's probably the most terrible bet I've ever made in my life. But yeah, I mean, looking back on things, I'm certainly not too proud of my take on that Dolphins Ravens game.
So Rob last week, he gave us Colorado on Saturday, and it was an unbelievable comeback. It was an unbelievable win, and he said that was his biggest play of the weekend. So if you had that, that was good. He also gave us the Packers on that Thursday night, which was a winner as well. But then he put up some stinkers. He had the Jets, which that thing looked like a lock until Adam Gase got Adam Gased. And, man, you had the Houston-New Orleans under, which is a ridiculous beat that you suffered. 500 points were put up in the last 3 minutes. That had to be painful.
Well, in three losses, and I didn't give one on the show last week, but I had Arizona and Detroit under as well, under 47, which was a great number. It was scoreless at the end of the first quarter. I still had a chance late if Arizona missed that two-point conversion to win that bet, but I lost that under in a heartbreaking fashion. Yes, the New Orleans-Houston one, 52.5 is the total, scoreless at the end of the first quarter as well, lost that under. You mentioned the Jets one. To me, the biggest problem with the Jets is when C.J. Mosley got injured on defense, the Bills then scored on three consecutive drives after he was out of the game, and you know, that one looked like it was an easy winner, and then all of a sudden, that's just the way the NFL is. That's the way football is. It's the way sports betting is. There's just a ton of variance. But to lose three games in the same weekend in that manner, it really makes you reevaluate. I actually went to church this week. That's not actually a joke. I literally went to church this week.
That's great, man. How do you feel about my 5-team money line parlay massive favorites that almost paid nothing? Didn't even pay even money.
Yeah, I was laughing a little bit actually when I heard that, because it's like you hear a 5-team parlay, I'm thinking, yeah, you know, Mark cashed in big, and then you realize that it was like -150 the parlay, right? The 5 teams together. So, well, it's a winner. I mean, you want more winners than losers. That's the end game. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to. congratulations. I'm not all that impressed is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, that's why I said it required a little bit of context. Rob Pizzola is with us, professional sports gambler. Here's the big question. Will you be betting the Dolphins game this Sunday right now? Last I saw, it's Patriots minus 18.5. We've all seen it at 19 as well. Are you going to bet this game?
I'm going to give you the honest answer, and the honest answer is I don't know. The reality is everything about me wants to bet the Dolphins. Like, it's an absurd line.
Well, you love getting points. I've known this from talking to you for years and years and years. You love getting points.
Well, the thing is, the advanced line in this game, if you were to bet this game and it happened in week one, it would have been Patriots minus 11. So it's been adjusted by more than a touchdown because of what we saw in week one. And that's only one game. Now, granted, here's the problem, and here's why I haven't been able to pull the trigger yet on the Dolphins, and why I probably will not end up betting them, is because typically in the NFL, you don't question motivations of teams, especially in week two of the season. More often than not, it was a bad week. You look for a team to bounce back, put in a really competitive effort, especially in a divisional game. This is the first time I can remember in week two of the NFL where I am pretty certain that one of the teams is not motivated. It's pretty clear that the front office, I mean, they're tanking. The Dolphins are tanking this year to get that first overall pick. And the players know it. You get all the trade rumors after the first week of the season, all the requests coming in. It's really hard to bet a team when you don't know if the team can actually get up for that game. So that's the reason I haven't bet Miami. If this was last year, or if the Dolphins were spending close to the cap and there wasn't all this turbulence surrounding the team, for sure I would be on Miami this week because the number is absurd. But too much uncertainty. I haven't bet it yet. It doesn't mean I won't, but as it stands right now, I'm really trying hard not to.
And you're a little shook. You're shook.
Well, I would be lying if I wasn't shook. Like, my bet was, it was 21-3 last week against the Ravens, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, okay, you know what? Couple scores, Dolphins still have a chance, right? I'm thinking of the Colorado-Nebraska game the day before. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, Colorado looked dead against Nebraska. They came back. It can happen. It gets to, like, 35-3, and I'm still like, okay, maybe the Ravens are going to take their, you know, the foot off the pedal, and then they run like a fake punt up 35-3. And I'm like, okay, this is done. It's officially over. So, yes, I am shook from last week. There's no doubt about it. That's certainly contributing to this week, which is tough because you kind of want to get that out of your head, but it's almost impossible.
No shame in it, Rob. No shame in it. What about tonight in the NFL? Panthers are 6.5-point favorites over Tampa.
I actually haven't placed a bet on the game tonight, side or total. There's a number of things that are working in the Panthers' favor tonight. I mean, for starters, I've talked about this for the last 2 years since I've been on your show, but these Thursday games, they favor the home team a lot more, and they favor what I would call the better team. And certainly I think Carolina is the better team. Why does this favor the better team? Because there's just less preparation for the team that's weaker going into these games. So that's, you know, one thing that favors Carolina. Another betting angle that's worked out over the past several years is backing good teams coming off a loss in week one, because typically you don't see good teams get out to an 0-2 start. And I guess this depends on whether or not you think Carolina falls into that good team bucket. Personally, I do. Historically, that's been a good angle. But for me, the problem with Carolina is I watch a lot of Carolina and the LA Rams. Cam Newton injured his ankle in preseason. He didn't play the rest of preseason. It's affecting him. He was not the scrambler that you would typically see in years past. He didn't actually run the ball until midway through the third quarter of that game, and he didn't look effective running the ball. So if I'm laying 6.5, 7 points with a team, I want to be pretty comfortable that their quarterback's going to have a full complement of weapons and be able to do everything that he normally does. I do not have a high degree of certainty in that. It's a game that I'm going to stay away from. I'll know pretty early on in the game just by watching it. If I want to get involved from a live betting perspective, that's the best way to attack tonight's game, in my opinion.
Rob, you don't like the under with what Jameis did? Tampa looked bad, and then Christian McCaffrey's the only thing Carolina has.
Yeah, I can see the reasons for liking the under. Obviously, Newton's ankle situation as well, as I mentioned. Tampa's defense actually looks a lot better. I mean, it's only one game, and it's San Francisco. You don't know what you're going to get out of their offense. So I get that. But I do think that there's some big play threats for both teams. Obviously, Tampa could still air it out. And then you talk about Jameis Winston and the turnover problems. That doesn't necessarily work in your favor from an under perspective, because if he's turning the ball over on his own 20-yard line, that's going to be short fields for Carolina. So I think 49.5 is the right number, or somewhere around 49 is where I made the game. I do lean to the under. but not something that I'm involved with.
All right, let's go through these quickly because we're running out of time. Rob Pizzola, professional sports gambler. Hurricanes, they are 41.5-point favorites over Bethune-Cookman Saturday.
I will quickly give my outlook on this game. I couldn't tell you a single thing about Bethune-Cookman, not one. Miami can pretty much name their score. This would be one of those fun ones to play a drinking game at home, every Miami first down or something like that, and you'd be, you know, you'd be out cold by halftime in this game probably. So that's how I would attack this game. I wouldn't consider betting it.
But you like, so you would stay away from it, even though Miami could do whatever they want. It's just too many points to.
If Miami's up 42-0 at halftime, are they playing their starters in the second half? Are they starting to focus on next week? That's the problem with these games with the high spreads, right? You have to try to get into the coaches' heads, and I don't really have the time to do that, especially when playing Bethune-Cookman as a school. I don't know what angles there are there. So that's just why I tend to stay away from these games altogether.
FAU, Florida Atlantic University, is at Ball State, and FAU is a 2.5-point favorite.
I like FAU this week. It's a tricky game to handicap because FAU has looked awful, but you have to cut them some slack because their first two games have been against Ohio State and UCF, and those are good teams. So this is one of those cases where you look at their numbers as a whole, it's very misleading because they've been badly outclassed, but this is a big step down for them. And yeah, Ball State, they were somewhat competitive in week one. They lost to Indiana by 10 points. That same Indiana team is playing Ohio State this week, and they're a 16.5-point underdog at home in that game. So that tells you, you know, sort of the class that FAU has played versus what Ball State has played. I think this is a great buy-low situation this week. I like FAU minus 2.5.
UCF, you mentioned them. They're a 9-point favorite hosting Stanford.
Not really too interested in this one. I thought I was going to like Stanford when I saw the line, to be honest with you, and I do lean Stanford. They looked awful last weekend against USC. They actually led that game 17-3. They got outscored 42-3 the rest of the way. If you go back many years, Stanford's been known for being a team that rebounds very well off losses. Their last 21 games off a loss, 17-4 against the spread. But I don't think that's relevant to this game because they've had much better programs in the past than they do this season. The only reason I really lean Stanford getting the points this week, they get their starting quarterback, KJ Costello, back. He missed the USC game last week. Unfortunately for them, they have big issues on the O-line. They're going to be missing their two starting tackles. That's pretty much why I'm not playing them this week. If I was forced to make a play, it would be Stanford, but that's just a strong lean.
Florida, Crowder's Florida Gators are an 8-point favorite at Kentucky.
Every time I see Florida favored on the road, especially like more than a touchdown, my initial reaction is always to look the other way because the offense is just way too inconsistent for my liking. And I know Franks played a great game last week. You look at the box score, 25 of 27 passing. That was against UT Martin. I mean, I still can't get over how bad he looked against Miami in the first game of the year. This is going to be a big game for him, though, because he's always going to be that quarterback that's remembered for losing the first game to Kentucky in, like, whatever it was, 3 decades or something like that last year. So everything I'm looking at here lends me to lean to Kentucky. The only reason I don't want to bet them is backup quarterback for them this week against the Gators defense. That, to me, is just a recipe for disaster. I know that Florida's banged up on defense. They have a lot of injuries at cornerback this week. I think both their starting corners are injured, if I remember correctly. My gut says Florida's going to win a close game, but am I comfortable betting Kentucky with a backup against that defense? No, thank you.
Florida State, the awful Florida State Seminoles, are getting 8 points at number 25, Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, FSU's defense is a disaster right now. The O-line is a mess again. They can't stop taking penalties. You really have a case here with two teams going in completely different directions. FSU's looking very average. Virginia looking strong at 2-0. Ordinarily, this would be one of those buy-low spots that I'd be talking about where a team doesn't look too good for the first couple games of the year. Get on them now. But just too many concerns for me with FSU right now that I can't ignore them. They've given up over 1,000 yards of opposing offense in their first two games of the year. They needed overtime to beat a team from the Sun Belt. I mean, if I had to pick a side, I'd take FSU because 8 looks like a big number, but I cannot take them with any confidence right now.
How about FIU, the Panthers? They are 10.5-point favorites hosting New Hampshire.
Yeah, I was actually trying to pull some data from New Hampshire, and it actually almost completely set my computer on fire. I don't know what happened. I have nothing. I've never seen New Hampshire play a game. I didn't even know they had a football program. So it's going to be very difficult for me to break down the 10.5 in that game, Mark.
Yeah, we had FIU last week. A bunch of people were on FIU, and they, they've looked bad as well. All right, three random plays. Your choice. Rob Pizzola, make a comeback here.
Yes, I'm going to try to. I'm going to preface this by saying, you know, I think I was 2-5 on the show last week.
Yes, 2-5.
That does not mean I'm going to bounce back this week. Like, so don't start betting double on picks or anything like that.
I've never heard you sound this rattled before.
Well, you didn't see me in hockey season in December. That was a real rough month. But I'll give three plays. We're going to go to three different football leagues. So we'll start with CFL. I know what most of the listeners are thinking right now. We have like 50 college football games this weekend, second week of NFL, and this Canadian goof is going to give out a play on CFL on the show. But this is just a reminder to everyone listening, the money isn't less green if it's something that you don't care about. So I have a big edge on it.
Speak to us, yeah.
You know, guys, if I had a big edge on a ballet competition and I knew that most of you could bet it, I'd give it out on the show. So,
and we'd take it.
I know you would, Mark. I know you'd love, and you'd probably watch it too, knowing you.
Oh my goodness, man! I want to get. I had a great cup watch party. I want to get my money's worth on any of these wagers.
Okay, so Saturday night we have Montreal going to Saskatchewan. Montreal has historically been a pretty bad CFL team. They were 5-13 last year, 3-15 the year before. There were not high expectations for them heading into this season, but just like every other football league on the planet, if you have a good quarterback, that is going to significantly change things for your team. Montreal's quarterback is Vernon Adams Jr. For those who follow college football, he played his senior season at Oregon, but it would have been about 4 or 5 years ago. He is a very good CFL quarterback. He's played a full 6 games for Montreal this year. They are 6-0 in his starts. They have not lost. They're getting 6 points on the road this week. I think that's a very bad number. People still disrespecting Montreal. I'm betting Montreal +6 in Saskatchewan, and I'm also going to bet them on the money line as well.
All right, let's go Alouettes. What else you got?
Right around that same time, college football action. It's actually a little bit before, Saturday night at 6:30. We have Marshall hosting Ohio. And obviously no one would be watching this game if we didn't have betting interest, so I will give you a bet on this game. Ohio last week was one of the biggest, quote-unquote, sharp plays on the board last week. Sharps were just betting Ohio. They couldn't get enough of them against Pitt, and that did not work out too well for Sharps. They lost 20-10 in that game. The game was actually even more lopsided than a 20-10 final score would indicate. So what does that mean for this week? Well, now what happens is the line gets adjusted. Ohio's getting too many points. No one wants to get involved in them. No one wants to come in big and bet on them because they got scorched by Ohio last week. This is very similar to like a Miami Dolphins situation this week. And that's why this number has hung around all week. Ohio is about a 5.5-point underdog right now. Marshall's defense looked amazing last week against Boise State. But remember, Boise State was coming off a big win over FSU in week one. I wouldn't be surprised if half those kids were hungover for the entire week. So situationally, I love this spot for Ohio. They're my favorite college play this week. I like them +5.5.
Wow. Okay. And your third one?
Third one. Wouldn't be a true Miami radio hit for me without giving out a terrible NFL play, one that will make your eyes bleed watching the game. Bears and Broncos. I faded the Bears in week one. I am going to fade them again in week two. So everyone wants to talk about the rest situation here, and I get it. Chicago played last Thursday. Denver played on short rest on Monday Night Football. I really don't know how that happens in 2019. We have all this technology available. The NFL still can't figure out how to make a schedule. But regardless, I don't think that's as big a factor early on in the year as people are making it out to be. I think there are two bigger factors working in Denver's favor. First off, there is no bigger home field advantage in the NFL than Denver in September. And why early on in the year? The altitude affects teams more earlier in the year because they're not in the greatest shape going into the season. This has traditionally been a great spot, backing Denver at home early on in the year. The second factor, Vic Fangio, Denver's head coach now. He ran Chicago's defense for the last 4 years. So day in and day out, his defense was going up against Mitch Trubisky in practice. He knows the ins and outs of the Bears offense. That's especially important in this game because it's a non-conference matchup. These teams don't know each other too well. They don't play each other often. I think that gives Denver a big edge in this game. Right now, you can find them at +3, -115. I think that's a ridiculous number. I'd make the game a pick 'em. I'd also bet Denver on the money line. It's going to be ugly. Joe Flacco's no good. The Broncos' offense is no good. But neither is the Bears. These are pretty identical teams. Add in the home field advantage. I like Denver +3.
Rob Pizzola is a professional sports gambler. We don't pay him to come on. He doesn't pay us to come on. We enjoy talking about it. I'm looking at some of the texts. This boy is shook. Pizzola is gun-shy this week. This is the guy that picked the Dolphins, and I'm supposed to listen to him. GTF out of here. I mean, you got to make a comeback here, Rob.
First of all, if I was shook, I wouldn't come on the show and give out three underdogs as my three plays of the week. Like, I would make the – I'd put together a Mark
my
Hoffman
five-team
five parlay with all the best teams in college football.
How about
right?
I text you my picks this weekend?
Yeah, you know what? Like, but it is what it is. I mean, this is the reality of sports betting. At this point, I actually don't get shook. I know I said I was shook with the Dolphins. I've seen it all. Like, I'm numb. I'm numb to these losses at this point. It's the honest to God truth. So hopefully we bounce back this week. If we don't, hopefully we bounce back next week or at some point, right?
There he is, Rob Pizzola. Follow him on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the games this week.
That was funny, man. Rob Pizzola, he'll always bounce back. That was fun.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh,